We had been back in Stamps, Arkansas for several years, where my enforced silence was part of everyday life. So it continued on and on, until I was to meet the lady who threw me my first lifeline.
Good day, Mrs. Henderson.
How do, Sister Flowers?
Mrs. Bertha Flowers was the aristocrat of black stamps. She wore beautiful flowered hats, and her skin was a rich black that would have peeled like a plum if snagged. She appealed to me because she was like the women in English novels who strode the moors and read Morocco-bound books.
Sister Flowers, I sent Bailey up to your house with these groceries.
Thank you, Mrs. Henderson. I'd prefer Marguerite, though.
She makes my name sound so beautiful.
I've been meaning to talk to her anyway.
Well, that's all right, then. Sister, go and change your dress. You're going to Sister Flowers.
What on earth did one put on to go to Mrs. Flowers' house? A Sunday dress might be sacrilegious. I was already wearing a house dress.
I know. A school dress.
Naturally. Formal, but not too church-like.
Now, don't you look nice, Marguerite? Mrs. Henderson, you make most of your children's clothing, don't you?
Yes, ma'am. Sure do. Store-bought clothes ain't hardly worth the thread it takes to stitch them.
I'll say you do a lovely job. So neat. That dress looks professional.
I try with the help of the Lord, sister, to finish the inside just like I does the outside. Come here, Marguerite. Take it off, sister.
No.
Taking off my dress in front of Miss Flowers?
It's gonna kill me stone dead.
I don't need to see the inside, Mrs. Henderson.
You see here, Sister Flowers? Our French seams around armhole.
That is a very good job, Mrs. Henderson. You should be proud. You can put your dress back on, Marguerite.
I put my dress back on, and I picked up the groceries and went to wait in the hot sunshine. It would be fitting if I just dropped dead on the slanting porch. There was a little path beside the rocky road leading to Miss Flowers' house.
I hear you're doing very good schoolwork, Marguerite, but the teachers report they have trouble getting you to talk in class.
The path widened to allow us to walk together, but I hung back.
Come and walk with me, Marguerite. Now, no one is going to make you talk, but bear in mind that language is a man's way of communicating with his fellow man. It is language alone that separates us from the lower animals. Your grandmother says you read a lot. That's good, but not good enough. Words mean more than what is set down on paper. It takes human voice to infuse them with the shades of deeper meaning.
The voice infuses deeper meaning. That's nice.
I'm gonna lend you some books. You must read them and try to make a sentence sound in as many different ways as possible. Ah, here we are.
The sweet scent of vanilla met us as we opened the door.
I made tea cookies this morning. I had planned to invite you for cookies and lemonade so we could have this little chat. Have a seat, Marguerite, over there by the table.
I never connected food and anything as common as eating with Miss Flowers, but
I haven't baked in a long time, but I've made these cookies especially for you.
Just for me.
As I ate, taking nice little ladylike bites off the edges, she began the first of my lessons in living.
Be intolerant of ignorance, Marguerite, but understanding of illiteracy. Listen to the mother wit of country people. In their sayings is couched the collective wisdom of generations.
On another visit, she brought a thick, small book from the bookcase. I had read A Tale of Two Cities. She opened the first page, and I heard poetry for the first time.
It was the best of times and the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief.
Were they the same lines I had read?
We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going the other way. How do you like that? Marguerite?
It occurred to me that Miss Flowers expected a response. I could taste the vanilla on my tongue. Her reading was a wonder in my ears. I had to.
Marguerite? Marguerite?
Yes, ma'am.
Well done, Marguerite. Now take this book of poems and memorize one for me. Next time you pay me a visit, I want you to recite it.
I ran down the hill into the road and had the good sense to stop running before I reached the store. I was liked, and what a difference it made. Not as Mrs. Henderson's grandchild or Bailey's sister, but just for being Marguerite Johnson. To be allowed, no, to be invited into her home and to read and read the whole school library with Miss Flowers. James Langston Hughes, Edgar Allan Poe, Balzac, Shakespeare, I memorized all the sonnets. It was a chance to exchange the southern bitter wormwood for a cup of mead with Beowulf or a hot cup of tea and milk with Oliver Twist. And when I said aloud,
"It is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done,"
tears of love filled my eyes. It never occurred to me that Mama might have asked her to give me a little talking to. I didn't question why Miss Flowers had singled me out. She had, and that was good enough for me. More than this, Miss Flowers had given me a secret word which called forth a djinn who was to serve me all my life. Books. It was twilight, and Bailey was late. Very late coming back from the Rialto Picture House. The black woman in the South who raises sons, grandsons, and nephews has her heartstrings tied to a hanging noose. Any break from routine may herald unbearable news. Mama was scrubbing the kitchen table for the umpteenth time when she said,
"Maybe we should walk down and meet him."
"Let's go, Mama."
"Wait a minute, little lady. Go and get your sweater and bring me my shawl."
"Yes, Mama."
It was darker in the road than I thought it would be. The night suddenly became enemy territory. And I knew that if my brother was lost in this land, he was forever lost.
"Here, sister, take the lighter. Hold my hand."
An old neighbor, his outline blacker than the night, passed us by, concerned we were out so late. Then I saw the small figure plodding along, tired and old mannish, like he was walking up a hill behind a coffin.
"Bailey!"
I tried to run to him and—
"No, sister!"
She yanked me back.
"We'll walk just like we've been walking, young lady."
There was no chance to warn Bailey.
"Bailey, Junior, you know it's not, and you're just now getting home?"
"Yes, ma'am."
"What you been doing?"
"Nothing."
"That's all you gotta say?"
"Yes, ma'am."
"All right, young man. We'll see when we get home."
"Hey, Bail."
"Leave me alone."
When we got home, Uncle Willie volunteered to whip him.
"Bailey!"
"Now, don't you get uppity, miss, lest you want some of the same thing. He got a lesson coming to him."
For days, the star was a strange country. Bailey didn't talk, smile, or apologize. Then one evening at the pig pen,
"Maya, I saw Mother in the movies. It wasn't really her. It was a woman named Kay Francis. She's a white movie star who looks just like Mother. I stayed late to see the film over again. Next time another picture with Kay Francis comes to Stamps, I'll take you."
"I'd like that."
We had to wait nearly 2 months before Kay Francis returned to Stamps. It was a comedy, and Kay Francis had a maid who was black and went around saying, "Lawsy, missy," all the time. I laughed, too. Not at the hateful jokes made on my people. I laughed because it was funny to think of the white folks not knowing that the woman they were adoring could be my mother's twin, except that she was white, and my mother was much prettier.
"You're all growing up. You need to be with your parents."
Knowing Mama, I knew that I never knew Mama.
"Besides, your Uncle Willie's the cripple, and I'm getting old."
Whatever the real reason for taking us to California, I shall always think it lay mostly in an incident in which Bailey had the leading part.
What's the matter, Bailey Jr.?
A few weeks before Mama revealed her plans, he came into the store shaking.
Mama, what have colored people done to white folks?
Colored folks ain't even bothered the hair on white folks' head. Some people say that white folks came over to Africa.
She made it sound like a hidden valley in the moon. Africa.
And stole the colored people and made them slaves. Ain't no way to explain what happened blows and scores ago, but right now they got the upper hand. Their time ain't long, though. Didn't the Lord protect the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace? We only has to wait on the Lord.
I saw a man, a colored man. Nobody had protected him. He was dead, dead and rotten.
Junior, watch your tongue.
Who was it?
When I passed the jail, some men had just fished him out of the pond. He was wrapped in a sheet, all rolled up like a mommy. Then a white man walked over and pulled the sheet off. Maya, he had no color at all. He was bloated like a ball. The white man stood there and grinned. Here's one nigga nobody got to worry about no more. Mama, why do they hate us so much?
They don't really hate us. They don't know us. They mostly scared.
Bailey was away in a mystery, locked in the enigma that young Southern black boys start to unravel from 7 years old to death. The humorless puzzle of inequality and hate.
Don't know what this world is coming to. God rest his soul. Poor man.
I'm sure Mama began piecing together the details of our California trip that night. I didn't actually think about facing Mother until the last day of our journey. My old guilt came back to me, like a much-missed friend. Would what Mr. Freeman had done to me be mentioned? The agony of wonder soured everything. But I needn't have worried.
Marguerite? Reedy? Mm. Reedy? Mm. Come. But you've got to be very quiet.
What's wrong, Mother?
Come with me.
The clock on the dining room table said 2:30 a.m.
You sit beside Bailey, Reedy. You've been invited to a party. I am giving a welcome party, and you two are my honored guests.
She had baked a batch of her crispy brown cookies and had a pot of milk chocolate on the back of the stove. We were both enraptured, and not unaware of Mother's nervousness. We had some power over the goddess, and we smiled conspiratorially.
I apologize for not having an orchestra for us to dance to. Come on, Reedy, Bailey, let me show you how to do the Susie Q.
Swing over here. Swing over there. Swing. Do the Susie Q.
What child can resist a mother who teaches you how to dance the time step and the snake hips after midnight, and who laughs freely and often?
Swing on! You're doing the Susie Q.